As we prepare to enter into worship today, I'm going to invite you to take a very deep breath. Breathe in deeply an awareness of God's presence wherever you may be right now. Breathe out those things that are distracting and preoccupying you, and allow God to be present with you in a way that is unmistakably real. Let me remind you also that as we enter into worship, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, literally or figuratively, our deep desire is to share God's love with you, to meet you right where you are. And just a note about the music for today's worship service. It includes the song "Thy Word" by Michael Smith, arranged by John Carter for piano solo. And the postlude is an arrangement of the hymn "Praise to the Lord the Almighty" by 18th century German composer Johann Walther, a cousin and friend of Johann Sebastian Bach. Listen for the melody in the lowest notes. And as always, a reminder that the words to the hymns that you will hear played during the chimes and in the hymn following the service may be found on our Facebook page and website.
Thank you.
Losing track of date and time is a common problem these days, as one day blends into the next and distinguishing markers along the way are hard to come by. So let me remind you that not only are we in the midst of a pandemic, we are in the midst of Memorial Day weekend, with tomorrow being the day when we intentionally and gratefully remember those who sacrificed their lives fighting for the country they loved. Although we cringe at the thought of war, and as people of faith do our best to be makers of peace, yet still we recognize that were it not for those who made the ultimate sacrifice, protecting our freedom and way of life, we would not have what we have today. We give thanks for these heroes, even as we are painfully aware that heroes of another sort, wearing different uniforms and brandishing different weapons, are on the front lines today, fighting an insidious enemy known as COVID-19. They too are making sacrifices to protect not only a way of life, but life itself. And amid this weekend, when we focus on those who have made sacrifices, we must not forget that at the very heart of our faith is one who sacrificed his life so that we might have life, abundantly and forever. With deep gratitude for the many sacrifices made on our behalf, sacrifices never to be taken for granted, we enter now into worship. In the name of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we prepare to share our prayer of confession, I invite you to focus on the words that are available on our website and Facebook page. If you don't have those words handy, please be with us in a spirit of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, how easy it is to forget that so much of what we have and enjoy is ours because of the sacrifice of others. Everything worth anything comes with a price, often paid in blood, sweat, tears, patience, perseverance, resolve, and yes, by making sacrifices. There are no shortcuts when it comes to achieving what is of lasting value in this life, and we ask your forgiveness for having forgotten that along the way. Grant us strength and courage beyond our own to make the sacrifices necessary now, be they sacrifices of convenience, comfort, or pleasure, so that all might have a chance to live and thrive in this world you have created. Grant us also a deep and lasting sense of gratitude for those who have willingly sacrificed their lives for a cause greater than themselves, your Son Jesus first and foremost among them. This we pray in his name. Amen. Friends, because a great sacrifice has been made for us, we have access to the awesome gift we call forgiveness. God's promise is sure. Whenever we confess our sins, God hears those words. God forgives us. God wipes the slate clean, and we are given the chance to start anew, fresh, every moment of every day. May this be a gift that we claim, share, and never take for granted. Amen.
Our first scripture reading today is from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 6 through 14. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand there looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. And our gospel reading is from the book of John, chapter 17, verses 1 through 11. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one." I have another special message for our young ones and our young at heart, so listen carefully. Lately, I have been spending quite a lot of time with my 2-year-old nephew, Elliot, which means I have been watching quite a lot of Sesame Street. I'm sure most of you have seen Sesame Street over the years, so you know that every episode usually has a number of the day. On one particular day recently, the number of the day was 1, and it got me thinking. The number 1 is kind of interesting. On one hand, we like the number 1 because we think of it meaning that we are in first place, the best, better than the rest, the gold medal winner. But on the other hand, 1 can also be the loneliest number. The number 1 can mean that it's just us, all by ourselves, all on our own. For Jesus, though, there is a whole other way that we might think of that little number 1. And in fact, there is nothing little about the way he sees it. At the very end of our scripture passage that I just read from the Gospel of John, Jesus is actually the one who is praying to God, just like we do. And in fact, he is praying for us, for all of us. In his prayer, Jesus asks God to protect us and to make us one, just like he and God are one. Make us one? What do you think Jesus meant by that? Do you think that Jesus is praying that we become number 1, the best of the best, the gold medal winner? That doesn't sound right. From what I know about Jesus, he's not too worried about us, about us being the best. He just asks that we do our best. Jesus didn't spend too much time with those that the world considered winners. You know, those with a lot of money and power and fame. In fact, he spent most of his time with the people who didn't really win much of anything. Those who the world said were at the bottom of the list. Those who were hungry and poor and in need of love and healing and hope. Okay, so maybe Jesus isn't praying that we become that kind of one. But maybe Jesus is praying to God that we be separated from one another, that we be set apart by ourselves so that we can focus on our own lives and our own well-being. After all, sometimes we just need to mind our own business and do our own thing, right? That doesn't sound right either, does it? From what I know about Jesus, he didn't talk too much about us focusing on ourselves and just doing our own thing. Jesus was a team player, and he taught us to think of others too. Jesus also knew that being isolated and by ourselves wasn't the best place to be. Even though there were times in his life that he took some time away from the crowd, he knew that God was with him, and he was never really alone. And he spent a lot of time reminding us of that very same thing. So, if Jesus isn't praying that we become number one winners, and he isn't praying that we be all by ourselves, what do you think he means when he prays to make us one? Well, remember how I said that there was nothing little about the way Jesus sees that little number one? It's true. For Jesus, one actually means being together, united, with one another. Doesn't that sound more like Jesus? Being one doesn't mean that we all look, sound, think, or believe the same thing. And it doesn't even mean that we have to be members of the same church. And it doesn't even mean that we need to be in the same physical space as one another. But it does mean that we are on the same team, rooting for each other. And it means that we make it a priority to respect one another, to care for one another, and most importantly, to listen to one another. I like the idea of all of us being on the same team, don't you? In fact, it seems like team is an important word, almost like a four-letter word of faith. I once saw a poster that said that the letters of the word team, T-E-A-M, stand for Together Everyone Achieves More. And I think that sounds about right. We are better together. And that is true whether we are sharing a pew at church or worshiping in the safety of our own homes. When we are one team, we can do and be more. We can love more, care more, pray more, help more, hope more. We can be more understanding, more compassionate, more welcoming, more generous. For Jesus, and for all of us who follow him, one is always the number of the day. Because we know that one really means team. A team that is better together, that encourages one another to be the best versions of ourselves. A team that includes all people. A team that knows they only win when everyone is heard and respected and loved. I pray that you feel God, Jesus, and your whole church family cheering you on this week. We're your team, and we've got your back. And I'm counting on you to root for one another, too. Let's say a few words of prayer, and then we will join in praying our Lord's Prayer together. Let's pray. Loving God, thanks for reminding us that we are one, not competing against each other, and not out on our own, but one, a team united by love. Help us to listen to our teammates and show them respect and care, even the ones we might not understand or agree with. Okay, especially the ones we might not understand or agree with. Be with us as we face another week, and we are thankful for yet another reminder that we are not alone. All of these things we pray in the name of Christ, who prays for us and who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.